हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीपाद सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anta Lila, Chapter 4, Sanatana Goswami visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri. So then Srila Prabhupada was describing what Chatusama is. Because Lord Chaitanya was saying that the on the first day I embraced him, as Lord Chaitanya, I smelled the aroma of Chatusama, a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, agar, musk. And Prabhupada mentions two parts of musk, four parts of sandalwood, three parts of agaru, or saffron, and one part of camphor. When mixed together, form chatusama. The aroma of chatusama is very pleasing. It is mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 6. In fact, 3.4.198-211. In fact, however, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the body of Sanatana Goswami, by the Lord's touch alone, there was manifested a fragrance exactly like that of sandalwood. Oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. My dear Sanatana, do not be aggrieved, for when I embrace you, I actually get great pleasure. Stay with me at Jagannath Puri for 1 year, and after that, I shall send you to Vrindavan. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again embraced Sanatana Goswami. Thus, immediately, Sanatana's sores disappeared, and his entire body resembled the color of gold. Seeing the change, Haridas Thakur, greatly astonished, told the Lord, "This is your pastime, my Lord. You made Sanatana Goswami drink the water of Jarikanda. You actually generated the consequent itching sores on his body. After thus causing these itching sores, you examine Sanatana Goswami. No one can understand your transcendental pastimes." After embracing both Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence. Then Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, in great ecstatic love, began to describe the Lord's transcendental attributes. In this way, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and discussed the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After they saw the Dol Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami fully about what to do in Vrindavan and bathe him from there. The scene of separation that took place when Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took leave of each other is so piteous that it cannot be described within. Sanatana Goswami decided to go to Vrindavan by the very poorest path Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had traversed. Sanatana Goswami noted from Balabhadra Bhattacharya all the villages, rivers, and hills where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. Sanatana Goswami met all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then, traveling by that same path, visited the places through which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had passed. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes in his song, Sharanagati 33.1.3. Gora Amara Jay Shabasane Karan Karala Brahmananda Rangi Jay Shabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bhakata Sangi. May I visit all the holy places associated with the Lord, Leelas of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Devotees should make a point of visiting all the places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. Indeed, pure devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even went to see the places he simply visited for only hours or minutes, Because the idea is that anything connected with the Lord becomes glorious. That's the whole point. So if that is appreciated, that because the Lord did something there, that place then becomes special. So that's why then any of the tirthas, any of the holy places, and especially the dhams, where he's performed so many wonderful pastimes, then they become very common. Srila Prabhupada. Okay. 3-2, no, 3-4, 2-1-2, 2-13. As soon as Sanatana Goswami visited the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his pastimes on the way, he was immediately filled with ecstatic love. In this way, Sanatana Goswami reached Vrindavan. Later, Rupa Goswami came and met him. Verses 2:14 to 2:39. Accomplishments of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. 3-4, 2-14. Srila Rupa Goswami had been delayed in Bengal for a year because he was dividing his money amongst his relatives to situate them in their proper positions. Srila Prabhupada. Although Srila Rupa Goswami renounced his family life, he nevertheless was not unjust to his family members. Even after renunciation, he returned to Bengal, where he properly divided whatever money he had and gave it to his relatives so that they would not be inconvenienced. Right, so he left before, you know, that he could go and he could meet the Lord and these things. But then now having the opportunities back in Bengal, then he spent the time there to see that everything was distributed properly. 3-4, 2-1-5 to 2-17. He collected whatever money he had accumulated in Bengal and divided it amongst his relatives, the Brahmins and the temples. Thus, after finishing all the tasks he had on his mind, he returned to Vrindavan fully satisfied. Because now he's done everything, now he can go back, and there's nothing more to discuss. The brothers met at Vrindavan, where they stayed to execute the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam, Kadahmiswa, Kadahmiswa. When was Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who was established within the material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were previously ministers directly in charge of the government of Nawab Hussain Shah, and they were also householders, but later they became Goswamis. A Goswami, therefore, is one who executes the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The title Goswami is not an inherited designation. It is meant for a person who has controlled his sense gratification and dedicated his life to executing the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami became genuine Goswamis after dedicating their lives to the service of the Lord. Because we see now you get that hereditary aspect that those who are, you know, worshiping the Goswami's deities, the pujaris at the temple, and then as they go down, they call themselves Goswamis. But technically speaking, then they're Brahmins, they're archikas, they're worshiping the deity, you know, all those nice things are going on. But technically, Goswami then, and as Prabhupada is relating here, it means that the senses are controlled, you're fully engaged in the Lord's service. So if that's going on, then that's fine. But otherwise, it's not, it's automatic. Just like, you know, because someone's born in a Brahmin family, they're not automatically a Brahmin. So the same way, because they're born in one of these families that are archikas for the six Goswami's deities, that doesn't mean that they're automatically qualified. They may qualify themselves. Of course, that's going to be the one of the nicest positions in which one could qualify oneself. But still, they have to apply themselves to qualify. 3-4, 2-18 to 2-21. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami collected many revealed scriptures. And from the evidence in those scriptures, they excavated all the lost sites of pilgrimage. Thus, they established temples for the worship of Lord Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami compiled the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. From this book, one can understand who is a devotee. What is the process of devotional service? And who is Krishna? The absolute truth. Srila Sanatana Goswami wrote a commentary on the 10th canto known as Dashama Tiptani, from which we can understand the transcendental pastimes and ecstatic love of Lord Krishna. He also compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, from which we can understand the standard behavior of a devotee and the full extent of a Vaishnava's duty. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura writes, the Hari Bhakti Vilas was originally compiled by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Later, Gopal Bhatta Goswami produced a shortened version of it and added the Dikdarshini Tika. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are so many quotations from the Satvat descriptions that sometimes it is inquired how the atheistic smartest can refuse to accept them and instead imagine some other opinion. What is recorded in the Hari Bhakti Vilas strictly follows the Vedic scriptures and is certainly pure. But the attitude of the Karmis is always one of giving up the conclusion of pure Vaishnava understanding. Because the Karmis are very much attached to the material world and material activities, they always try to establish atheistic principles that oppose the understanding of the Vaishnavas. So this is a very important aspect that must be appreciated, that if one's not careful, then because of attachment to the material world, then one's going to see the activities of karma. You know, of course, it's the activity of karma that is being prominently appreciated, not necessarily karma yoga. Karma yoga means you're appreciating pure bhakti, but you're not necessarily on that platform. So therefore, you're engaging the areas of your attachment, but you're just serving Krishna in those attachments. It means you have an attachment, but you're doing it for Krishna. This is different from someone who has an attachment. They do the attachment, you know, in a detached way and then offer it to Krishna so that they get the benefit. So you can say, yes, it's nice, it's sattvic and everything. But it's technically, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, it's not devotional service. Because the intent is not Krishna's pleasure. The intent is that they're going to get the benefits they want. They don't mind in the process, they're pious enough that they're comfortable, that they're going to be worshiping the Lord and trying to do things in a way that the Lord is pleased, because the idea of the Lord is pleased, then they'll get what they want. So it's just a little bit more seemingly devotional attitude, or at least following that kind of poverty, but it's not actually pure devotion. Then there are those who just, you know, stop doing activities, pull everything in the senses, and don't engage themselves like the yogis or the jnanis. But we see is that the actual proper thing is that you take your senses, engage them in the Lord's service by rendering service to Him. So it's service to Him. It's not about yourself. And so you're cooking for Krishna, and then you're taking the remnants. Not you're cooking for yourself, and then you offer to Krishna. There's a difference. Like that. So Hari Bhakti Vilas and all that will establish that principle of pure devotional service. And as it said, it goes through all the Vedic scriptures and everything like that. And going through the scriptures, then it's showing you how then the Vaishnavas, you know, what's their etiquette, how they behave, what is the culture, all these different things. So the Hari Bhakti Vilas is explaining that. Sometimes it's being said that, no, he's just engaging the karma aspect of the smartas in devotional service. But no, he's written it for the devotees. The point is there's already so many books that are engaging in a sattvic way the smartas. They're already doing all those things. They're already worshiping Vishnu. So what's going to be the difference is pure devotional service. So these are the ways that the pure devotees work. And so in its, you know, full form, then it has every detail of every aspect of Vaishnava life and gives all the quotations concerning those things. So it's not just, you know, this is, you know, what he thinks is nice, or that's what, you know, he used to do when he was back at Rama Kali. So, you know, it was good for him, so it's good for everybody else. No, he's going from what the scriptures say. And then from that, then we can appreciate what we do. So then Srila Prabhupada, from that, has given us, you know, activities and all that that we can do. And in that way, then our lifestyle is there. So it's not that these things are Indian. These are Vaishnava, the Vedic. The Vedic is meant for human beings. It's meant for the world. That's why Lord Chaitanya's mission is meant for the world. It's not that some other parts of the world, they're so unique and special that they have their own kind of padati and all that. No, if that is considered, then we can understand that's because of the particular conditioning and attachment of those particular individuals, but they're not on the platform of pure devotional service. Because pure devotional service means it's about Krishna, not about themselves. So when we say we're Westerners, oh, we can't do all that Indian stuff, it's about themselves, not about Krishna. Not that they don't mind connecting something to Krishna. You know, there's some consideration of Krishna there. But you can't call it the pure devotional service. One has to be very clear on what is the process. So you're starting with the with a already faulty position that because someone's from a different part of the world, they can't do that. But then if that's the case, then that means unless you're from Bengal, you couldn't follow the Gaudiya tradition. And even that, you'd have to be from this part of Bengal where they follow these things. And so then in this way, it goes down. And then where does it end? You know, okay, unless you're doing what this family is here, but within this family, this guy here. You know? And so then that's it. He's the only Gaudiya. So Lord Chaitanya has a more universal position. He's not so xenophobic. He's not so racist that, you know, he tries to say, oh, we're from here, we're from there, and all these things like that. Point is we're the soul, we're not the body. The soul is pure. And this soul, pure soul, its natural position is that. It may take some practice, but you have to understand what the principles are at work. But if they're difficult, just know it's because we're impure. So you do the best you can. So yes, there are, you know, ways to adjust, but you're adjusting because you're impure, not because we're Westerners and Westerners, you know, they poop gold or something like that. And so therefore, you know, we're so fabulous. So we can't do all this Indian stuff, you know, meant for those rickshaw wallahs and all those kind of poor people. You know, so we have to be very, very careful when we're dealing here is that culture is culture. And a culture gentleman from any part of the world can appreciate culture from any other part of the world. And if they're not, then technically they're not a gentleman. Literally. In other words, you appreciate culture. Just like if someone appreciates food. And that, so any food from any part of the world, any cuisine that's cooked properly, they can appreciate. They may not prefer to eat that, but they appreciate it. And if they don't appreciate it, they're not actually a foodie. So in the same way, if they don't actually appreciate culture, where culture is, and can't identify culture, they're not actually that culture of the general. Maybe in their own sphere, they're cultured, but not on the universal platform. So we have to be very, very clear that when Lord Chaitanya instructed the Goswamis, that was meant for us, no matter where we are. I mean, Hanuman follows so many things. He's a monkey. And if he doesn't follow some stuff, he likes to sit in a tree and eat fruit. That's cool. He is a monkey. But the point is we see them there. They're discussing these things. They're following these things. So one has to understand is that one has to start by that humble position, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, that meekness and that humility. From that position, then we can surrender to Krishna. But if we and that means giving up, identifying that, yes, I am fallen because everything I do is about upadis. Everything is about my senses. Because an upadi means it's about your senses. If you say, oh, we're a Westerner, then it's going to be that Westerners engage their senses in a certain way. They eat a certain way, dress a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way. And so because of that, that makes them Westerners. Right? So, because you can, because if he says no, because we live in the West, there's people from all over the world that in whatever part of the world, they're saying, oh, you can't do that here. Right in that exact same city, they're living and following culture from somewhere else in the world. They're following, their parents are following, their grandparents are following, and they've been doing it for generations. And they're perfectly fine. So it's just attachment to the upadhi means attachment to the false identities, attachment to the senses. And because of that, one is in a fallen position. And of course, that's where we start. And so when it recognizes that fallen position and then in that humility tries to serve Krishna, then that surrender, that will work nicely. But if we're taking nowhere like this, we can't do that. In fact, it's not even advanced to do that because that's Indian. Now you're dealing with malechas. So the proper thing is, no, we're malechas. We can't do that. Because we're against the Vedic culture. So one has to actually know, understand reality. We can say, oh, no, but there's so many more things to consider. What are these more things? The mind, the senses, the attachments. You do the best you can. But for prestige, you make up philosophies. You try to say it's not important. People who are serious, oh, they're fanatic. These in no way are going to help the individual, nor are they going to help anyone else. Right? You know, at the same time, if someone is rooted in, you know, some particular tradition and some religious practice, and then they're following that, and that, as long as they understand the purposes about pure devotion and developing love for God, then if they can progress in what they're doing, that's nice. But the difficulty is that there's not necessarily always enough knowledge and understanding. Some sentiment is there, but that some faith may be there, but the actual knowledge is not, the science. So then they'll do well to take advantage of the association of devotees and try to improve the quality of their position. Yeah. So we see is that therefore then we have to always be careful of these because when you're following the religious processes, you generally have this split of Niyamagraha. You know, so what we were talking about before is Niyamagraha. Because they'll follow some things because they should, and they think, and other things they reject because they think it's not important. So in both cases, it's based on ignorance. So then you're going to get those that just follow the rule, and it's about this, and they take the strict rules and that, and say, if you're not doing this, you're not a devotee. So they're missing the point is the devotion, and these rules are the medium through which you express your devotion. At the same time as others, oh, those aren't important. We're just sticking to the essence. We're just, you got love for Krishna and all, but where does that love come from? Because it's said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that spontaneous devotional service means you are driven by love for the Lord, by attraction to the Lord. Right? So that attraction is why you do things. You're attracted to the Lord, then you see opportunities in which you can express that attraction. And that'll be consistent. And if not, then you're going to work because of gratefulness. Right? You're either going to be driven by duty, which is Krishna's taking care, he's given such nice opportunities. So therefore, then we follow all the rules and regulations, you know, that are our duty. And where are these coming from? Great personalities in the past, right? So the great acharyas and everything, they've done things. Those are documented in scripture. That's then what's given to us. So then it's perfect. It's already there because they speak from the essence. You see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we're talking about the contemporary society and the ills of the society. It's just as valid today as it was then. You know, 160 years ago. Or so. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then, 30, 40, 50 years later, he's making the points about the contemporary society. And the points he's making, they apply today. What Prabhupada was saying about the society back 60s and 70s, it still applies today. Because the point is, material nature is controlled by Krishna. The modes are under Krishna's direction. They follow his laws. So therefore, how people respond are according to the laws. There's nothing new. People think, oh, no, but we're moving forward. But they're not necessarily moving forward. They're moving backwards. You know, we see is that, like the Roman civilization, when it was about the austerity, about duty, about, you know, following the tradition and everything, that they became very, very strong and powerful. But then when they got into, they didn't want to follow all the rules. They were just into themselves and all these different things. Then it fell apart. You're going to look at that. That's when the Greeks fell apart. That's a, you look at all that. They all fall apart at that stage. So, you know, you can say, it's, oh, but this is different now. You know, we're woke. We're this. We're that. No, they were woke back way back, you know, thousands of years ago. You know, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans, it all fell apart from the same thing. That either it's too much about the rules or it's not about the rules at all. You just do what you feel like. And so both of them are going to create a problem. One looks all right, but it's the mood's wrong. And the other one, the mood's wrong and it doesn't look right. You know, they'll say, oh, no, but it's about, it's from the heart and all that. But what is your heart? What's your heart look like? According to Krishna's Kaviraj, we generally tend to have ironclad stone hearts. That's generally, you know, that's the standard issue you get. And so then, you know, it's nice, but the whole point is how it's coming, what's the etiquette? Like that. So then a lot of times, like you said, atheistic means it's against Krishna's laws. It may be against them directly or indirectly. Against the Shastra is actually atheistic. And so the whole point is that you're trying to establish how to do things nicely for Krishna. And if we're trying to figure out things that we don't require the tradition, how to get around that, just because we're conditioned to it and we don't want to give it up, that then the point is at some point you have to give it up. Otherwise, then we'll be back. You know, it'll be you and Arnold, you know, here in the material world. 3, 4, 2, 2, 2. Srila Sanatana Goswami also compiled many other books. Who can enumerate them? The basic principle of all these books is to show us how to love Madan Mohan and Govindaji. That's the basic principle of the book. So that's what it's for. Sometimes we get into the little technical rule, oh, we can't use this. What's the principle that you're giving up here? You're saying, oh, we can't do this. What's the principle you're missing? Because otherwise you say, okay, this is a principle like this is going, but in this situation, I have to do it like this. You know, I don't have that stuff. Like I remember seeing some of the boys, they were working in the office for Jagannath March. And sometimes they'd have, you know, deadlines and that. They'd be up late at night and they'd be sitting there. You know, in that time, everything's closed. They'd get hungry. They worked out a system how they could boil pasta in a plastic bag. You know, and they did everything. And that, you know, they would eat. So that's the thing. That's the mother of that. So the point is that the principles of cooking remain. It's because they knew they were trained in cooking, they could work that out. So basically, someone who's properly trained in the practical application of the Vedic system, they can apply it anywhere. Hence, you see, Indians and Asians, they go from here to any place in the world, and they can do well. No problem at all. In other words, if you're dealing with a higher level, it's like if you know 12th grade math, 6th grade math, 3rd grade math is not difficult. But if you only know 3rd grade math, then you go somewhere else where it's a different math. Oh, we're not from here. You know, we can't do math like that. And, you know. Srila Prabhupada. The Bhakti Ratnakara refers to the following books by Srila Sanatana Goswami. 1. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita. 2. The Hari Bhakti Vilas. And his commentary, known as Digdarshan. 3. The Lila Stava. And 4. The commentary in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, known as Vaishnavtosha. Sanatana Goswami compiled many, many more books, all with the aim of describing how to serve the principal deities of Vrindavan, Govinda, and Madan Gopal. Later, other deities were gradually established, and the importance of Vrindavan increased. So when they were there, the two of them were there, they established their deities, and with time, then the other Goswamis established, other devotees came, and like Prabhupada said, now there's 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 2, 2, 6. Srila Rupa Goswami also wrote many books, the most famous of which is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. From that book, one can understand the essence of devotional service to Krishna and the transcendental mellows one can derive from such service. Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled a book named Ujjvala Nilama, from which one can understand to the fullest limits the loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled two important dramas named Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, from which one can understand all the mellows derived from the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami compiled 100,000 verses, beginning with the book Dhanakeli Kamuni. In all these scriptures, he elaborately explained the transcendental mellows of the activities of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, referring to the words Laksha Grantha, 100,000 verses, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the total number of verses written by Srila Rupa Goswami is 100,000, Ek Laksha or Laksha Grantha. The copyists count both the verses and the prose sections of the Sanskrit words. One should not mistakenly think that Srila Rupa Goswami comprised 100,000 books. No, it's 100,000 verses. He actually wrote 16 books, as mentioned in the first wave of the Bhakti Ratnakara. Sri Rupa Goswami, Grantha, Shodasha, Karila. Three, four, because you have the verses themselves, and then you may have explanations, you may have other aspects. So all these are counted in that way that you have 100,000. 3, 4, 227, 239. The son of Sri Balava, or Anupam, Srila Rupa Goswami's younger brother, was the great learned scholar named Srila Jiva Goswami. After renouncing everything, Srila Jiva Goswami went to Vrindavan. Later, he also wrote many books on devotional service and expanded the work of preaching. In particular, Srila Jiva Goswami compiled a book named Bhagavat Sandarbha, or Shat Sandarbha, which is the essence of all scriptures. It says all scriptures, it literally means that. From this book, one can obtain a conclusive understanding of devotional service and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you understand clearly what is devotional service, what is Krishna. He also compiled a book named Gopalachampu, which is the essence of all Vedic literature. In this book, he has exhibited the ecstatic loving transactions. And pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. In the Sat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami set forth the truths about the transcendental love of Krishna. In this way, he expanded 400,000 verses in all his books. When Jiva Goswami wanted to go to Mathura from Bengal, he requested permission from Srila Nityananda Prabhu. Because of Jiva Goswami's relationship with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who were greatly favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu placed his feet on the head of Srila Jiva Goswami and embraced him. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, go soon to Vrindavan. That place has been awarded to your family, to your father and uncles, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore you must go there immediately. End quote. By the order of Nityananda Prabhu, he went to Vrindavan and actually achieved the results of his order. For he compiled many books for a long time and preached the cult of bhakti from there. These three, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, are my spiritual masters. And so also is Raghunath Das Goswami. I therefore offer prayers at their lotus feet, for I am their servant. Thus I have described how the Lord again met Sri with Sanatana Goswami. By hearing this, I can understand the Lord's desire. These characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like sugar cane that one can chew to relish transcendental juice. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, follow it in their footsteps. Conclusion. It is the characteristic of the devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette, text 130, right? So he observes it, he protects it, and he shows others how to also serve and protect. They don't spend their time trying to find ways to get around it or avoid it. A person born in a low family is not fit for discharging devotional service to Lord Krishna, nor is one fit for devotional service simply because he is born in an aristic family of Brahmins. Anyone takes to devotional service is exalted, whereas a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord, there is no consideration of the status of one's family, right? Because if you're from a low class, you're a high class, you're all unfit for devotional service. So therefore, it's by the mercy of the Vaishnavas that we become qualified by performing devotional service. So when we perform devotional service to please the Lord, we become qualified under the direction of the Vaishnavas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always favorable to the humble and meek. But aristocrats, learned scholars, and the wealthy are always proud of their positions. Text 66 to 68. So you see, he's always favorable to them, but these others, they're proud, so therefore they're not going to get. So as you mentioned before, someone comes from some nice place or something like this, or they're attached to that, they think they're scholarly, oh, we have this, all those poor, wretched, you know, disgusting, you know, we always get on the bottom of your shoe, you know, Indians, and all that kind of stuff, then these things, how are you going to get the mercy of the Lord? Some behave very well, but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach, but do not behave properly. Right? So text 1 or 2. So one is trying to get the proper thing. One is preaching, and one is behaving nicely. Because the point is, if you behave nicely, it's always going to enhance the preaching. Right? But if you're going to behave nicely and not preach, what's the point? There's so many nice guys in the material world, and they'll stay in the material world. And you're preaching Krishna consciousness, but you don't behave properly, then people are going to be distracted, right? So Prabhupada's pointing out that behave properly means not following the principles and these kind of things. But point is the etiquette is there, how you deal. You see all living entities as Krishna's servant, and so therefore, then you deal. And then it will be very much appreciated. So one is cultured, one has knowledge, right? One has that devotion. It will attract attention because people are looking for answers. At least those who are, you know, the innocent, those are more open. My dear Sanatana, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. If one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him. And thus, he is vanquished in both this world and the next. By observing the etiquette, you have satisfied my mind. Who else but you could show this example? Text 129 to 132, right? So then Sanatana Goswami, he sets the perfect example, right? So that's why he's the Sambandha Acharya. He shows what is devotional service, what's the understanding of devotional service, pure devotional service, what is the deity worship, what's the etiquette that Vaishnavas follow, and he himself does it also perfectly. And then by that, then who else but you could show this example is Lord Chaitanya. And then from there, we try to do the best we can. And if it's nice, it's by the Lord's grace. If it's not so nice, we remain meek and humble that we're doing our best. What can we do that we're just so uncultured or so impure that things just don't work out? But to get become proud of the position, take it for granted that was all right, then it starts becoming offensive. Then you're going against the scriptures. The fourth offense, you know, you're taking advantage of the holy name. And I think that's the seventh offense. You know, so one has to be very, very careful. You know, or yeah, we don't care, the Indians and that first offense. You know, so you have to be very careful. Or, you know, Prabhupada, you know, it's maybe back in the 60s, but now, you know, like this, that's the third offense. So one has to be very, very careful. Anything not conceived in relation to Krishna should be understood to be illusion, maya. None of the illusions uttered by words or conceived in the mind are factual. Right? So if it's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't matter how nicely it's spoken, how nicely it's written into books and this and that, and the grammar and all, it's an illusion. It's wrong. Because illusion is not factual, there's no distinction between what we think is good and what we think is bad. Right? So we say this is good, that's bad, but if it's all illusion, it's all bad. There's no distinction, it's all useless. When we speak of the absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. Srimad Bhagavatam 175 to 176. So it's a relationship to Krishna that makes it good, and not having one, that makes it bad. So therefore, within bad, then you're going to say this is good, that's bad. Acceptance or rejection of material things is not a concern of a sannyasi. A Vaishnava or a learned person, an advanced devotee has no desire to enjoy or reject anything, right? So we want to enjoy things because of karma. We want to reject things because of jnana. So we're attached to these two because we reject hope because then we'll get liberation. So his only duty is to accept whatever is favorable for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. So that's what he's looking for. So he's not into accepting things or rejecting things. He's into how to engage in Krishna's service and what is useful in engaging in that service. Vaishnava should be indifferent to material enjoyment and renunciation. He should always hanker for the spiritual life of rendering service to the Lord, 179 purport. Therefore, then, you know, in the various situations, then one, that's why you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his preachers would go into the middle of the city. That was his plan. You find a place right in the middle of the city where it's busy. That's where you get your, that's where you have your temple, right? Like that. Farms can be out where you have farmland, you know, but it's not about going out in the middle of nowhere and being peaceful in that. It's about, you know, where you're going to be able to perform your service next. Vaishnav should be indifferent to material enjoyment. It means he does the service, you know, the senses are nicely engaged, great. The senses are engaged in things that aren't as great, it doesn't matter. So that's indifferent. Indifferent means it can be nice or not nice, it doesn't matter. And renunciation, there may be a time when, you know, something comes up, you end up fasting, that's fine. You end up, there's extra prasad and different, or so many things happen, that's fine. But the point is it's connected to Krishna. That person is a resident of hell who considers the deity worship in the temple to be deity worshipped in the temple to be stone or wood, who considers the spiritual master an ordinary man, and who thinks that the body of a Vaishnava fully dedicated to the service of the Lord belongs to the material modes of nature. Quotation from the Padma Puran cited in 191 purport. One has to understand when it's connected to Krishna, everything becomes spiritual. It all becomes spiritual. It is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Text 130. So when Krishna comes, it means everything is already him. So if he wants to manifest in some particular place, he's manifesting so you can see him because his sarup is beyond our ability to perceive. So therefore he comes in material that we can perceive. That's his mercy. But the point is it's him. It's authorized things. He's not coming in, you know, a bowl of, you know, just how you say, in a pumpkin or something like that. You know, he's coming in what's recommended. Chapter 5. How Prajumya Mishra received instructions from Ramananda Das. Continue. The activities of the gopis and Lord Krishna, if seriously understood, were certainly free one from material attachment. Right? If seriously understood, right, then it will free one from attachment. If one doesn't understand them properly, then, you know, it will have less effect like that. So the point is, there's someone who's endeavoring to always keep themselves nicely busy in Krishna consciousness. Then by hearing about the nice service of the devotees, and they understand how their position of serving, then it will work very nicely. But if you relate it to activities of boys and girls, then it will not work very well. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of the fifth chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasta. Prajumna Misra, a resident of Srihatta, came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear from him about Lord Krishna and his pastimes. The Lord, however, sent him to Srila Ramananda Rai. Srila Ramananda Rai was training the Devadasi dancing girls in the temple. And when Prajumna Misra heard about this, he returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord, however, elaborately described the character of Srila Ramananda Rai. Then Prajumna Misra went to see Ramananda Rai again to hear about the transcendental truth from him. Okay, so this point that he was dealing with the Devadasis. Now you may come across sometimes that in Orissa that there are those who will say, is no, Ramananda Rai didn't deal with the Devadasis, because they're trying to move Lord Chaitanya and his out. They want to be the authorities there. He was dealing with them. He was training them. He was dressing them and doing all these things. And so, but at the same time, as it appears, he also then, you know, for doing dramas and stuff, created a troupe of, you know, boys who then would do all the dramas, because the boys then can do, you know, girls parts, the men's parts, all these different things. But one has to be, this is what said, this is what happened. And, you know, if modern historians have a different idea, or other people because of their political motives, we couldn't care less. This is what we accept. A Brahmana from Bengal composed a drama about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went to Jagannath Puri to show it to the associates of the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary, Srupa Dharmada Goswami, heard the drama, he discerned a tinge of Mayavad philosophy and pointed out to the author. Although Srupa Dharmada condemned the entire drama by reference to secondary meanings of the introductory verse, he nevertheless satisfied the Brahmin. That Brahmin poet thus became greatly obliged to Srupa Dharmada Goswami, renounced his family connections, and stayed at Jagannath Puri with the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1 to 90. Srila Ramananda Rai instructs Prajumna Misra, verses 91 to 164. A well-intentioned Bengali poet is relieved of his Mayavad tendencies. Verses 1 to 90. Srila Ramananda Rai instructs Prajumna Misra, 3, 5, 1 through 14. I am infected by the germs of material activity, and I am suffering from the boils of envy. Okay, so here, this is the introduction to this chapter by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. So, you know, 500 years ago, he's writing this and he's talking about the germs of material activity. Well, in the modern allopath medicine, it wasn't until the late 1800s, you know, 1890s and there into the first, for 10 years before and after that kind of thing, where the whole concept that there is such a thing as germs, and that's why people are, you know, dying of infections and that, because of the uncleanliness by their practicing their medicine. So, you know. I take shelter of the great physician, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi. All glories to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Indeed, he is the most glorious and merciful. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaita Prabhu, the ocean of mercy, and to all the devotees, such as Srupa Dharmada Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sri Sanatana Goswami. One day, Prajumna Misra came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering his respects and inquiring from him with great submission. My lord, he said, kindly hear me. I am a crippled-minded householder, the most fallen of men, but somehow by my good fortune, I have received the shelter of your lotus feet, which are rarely to be seen. I wish to hear topics concerning Lord Krishna constantly. Be merciful unto me and kindly tell me something about Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I do not know about topics concerning Lord Krishna. I think that only Ramananda Rai knows, for I hear these topics from him. It is your good fortune that you are inclined to hear topics regarding Krishna. The best course for you would be go to Ramananda Rai and hear these topics from him, right? Because Lord Chaitanya, then it's always naturally, it's going to be that there's the parampara aspect. And hearing from the devotees and being a servant of the devotees, that becomes very dear to the Lord, like we saw in the beginning of the, Prarthana, the prayers by Narottam Das Thakur. Then Lord Chaitanya is being mentioned about how he's talking to Rupa and asking, who's that person with you, that shy person with you? And then Rupa mentions, oh, this devotee of yours, your servant, has been, given to me by your servant, Lokanath Goswami. And so then that's very nice. Lord Chaitanya likes these, and Krishna likes that there's going to be these aspects where you're going to get that the Lord, then he has his close devotees, their devotees, and then it keeps going back. And that connection, how it comes through very nicely, becomes very wonderful. I see that you have acquired a taste for hearing talks regarding Krishna. Therefore, you are extremely fortunate. Not only you, but anyone who has awakened such a taste is considered most fortunate. Quote, a person who properly performs his regulative duties according to Varna Ashram, but does not develop his dormant attachment to Krishna or awaken his taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, is certainly laboring fruitlessly. 59. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Right? In other words, it's supposed to be used in the Lord's service. It doesn't say, oh, see, it's useless, you don't use it. It's just saying that a person who properly performs his duties according to Varna, but does not develop, then it's certainly laboring fruit. In other words, he should be doing his duty, but it should be all been on a connection with Krishna. It should be coming pure, a pure devotee. Prajumna Misra, being thus advised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to the house of Ramananda Rai. There, the servant of Ramananda Rai gave him a proper place to sit down. Unable to see Ramananda Rai immediately, Prajumna Misra inquired from the servant, who then described what Ramananda Rai was doing. Quote, there are two dancing girls who are extremely beautiful. They are very youthful, and they are expert in dancing and singing. Srila Ramananda Rai has taken these two girls to a solitary place in his garden. There he is teaching and directing them to dance according to the songs he has composed for his Brahma. Right? So two very qualified girls, they're going like this. And so then that's the position, is that they're qualified, they can do, they will sing and dance very nicely because they're going to be dancing for Jagannath. He writes the drama, but the point is the drama will be performed for Lord Jagannath. And also the devotees, then they will also see and appreciate. Srila Prabhupada. The drama being rehearsed by Ramananda Rai and the two girls was the well-known Jagannath Vallabh Nataka. The songs and dances were meant for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. Therefore, Ramananda Rai was personally giving instructions on how to sing and dance for the drama. Right? Because you see, when you're dealing, you always need a director. And so he's showing them how to do, because otherwise they may overemphasize something, do something too quick, not draw it out, all these things to make it just perfect just for Lord Jagannath. 3:5:15-20. The servant continued, please sit here and wait for a few moments. As soon as he comes, he will execute whatever order you give him. Right, so when he comes, he will always take care of his guests and do everything very nicely. While Prajumna Misra remained seated there, Ramananda Roy took the two girls to a solitary place. With his own hand, Srila Ramananda Roy massaged the bodies with oil and bathed them with water. Indeed, Ramananda Rai cleansed their entire bodies with his own hand. Although he dressed the two young girls and decorated the bodies with his own hand, he remained unchanged. Such is the mind of Srila Ramananda Rai. While touching the young girls, he was like a person touching wood or stone, for his body and mind were unaffected. Srila Ramananda Rai used to act in that way because he thought of himself in his original position as a maidservant of the gopis. Thus, although externally he appeared to be a man, internally, in his original spiritual position, he considered himself a maidservant, considered the two girls gopis. So as a maidservant, he's simply assisting them in their service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Ramananda Rai composed a drama named Jagannath Ballabh Nataka, and he engaged two young girls who were professional dancers and singers to demonstrate the ideology of the drama. Such girls, who are called Devadasis, are still employed at the temple in Jagannath, where they are called Maharis. Sri Ramananda Rai engaged two such girls. Because they were meant to play the parts of gopis, he taught them how to awaken thoughts like those of the gopis. Because the gopis are worshipable personalities, Ramananda Rai, who considered the two girls gopis and himself their maidservant, engaged in a service by massaging the bodies with oil to cleanse them completely. Because the oil takes the dirt out of the pores of the skin, the soap will get what's on the top, but oil goes in into the pores and gets down and the dirt comes up. Then you use some cleansing material, then it will get all the dirt out. Because Ramananda Rai always placed himself in the position of a maidservant of gopis, his rehearsal with the gopis was actually on the spiritual platform. Yes, we also see here is that aspect, Srila Prabhupada then points it out, that when the actors are performing the drama and they're playing the different roles and all that, then at that time you see them and they're respected because they're representing that role. So if they're playing Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they're respected like that. And so in Vrindavan, you would see many times in the Ras Lila dances that they would do, there would be one point in the drama where they all go and like sit like in yogi. And then at that time, the audience will come up and offer lamps and offer, you know, worship them in respect. They're not worshiping the actors, they're worshiping Radha and Krishna. Like this. So it's a tradition that's there. It's mentioned, you've just mentioned it here in the purport. And Prabhupada mentions it more directly, as I was mentioning, like that. Some will say, oh, these things are bogus, these things and that, but these are what to do. People who are uninformed, then these things happen. Because there was no question of personal sense gratification. When Sri Ramananda Rai was serving the girls, his mind was steady and his body untransformed. This is not to be imitated, nor is such a mentality possible for anyone but Sri Ramananda Rai. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the example of Sri Ramananda Rai is certainly unique. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has given this description because in perfect devotional service, one can attain such a position. Nevertheless, one must understand this subject very seriously and never attempt to imitate such activities. Because imitate means you're trying to do the externals of it, but you don't have the attitude. And so then, following the footsteps means you do your service without an interest in sense gratification. And so whoever you're dealing with, whatever the situation, you don't try to see how I can get some personal benefit from this. So I'm simply engaging my senses in the service of the master of the senses, and I'm not looking for some benefit for myself. So that principle, that we can follow in the footsteps. But the details of this, then, not necessarily. Three, 5, 21 to 26. The greatness of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exceedingly difficult to understand. Sri Ramananda Rai is unique among all of them, for he showed how one can extend his ecstatic love to the extreme limit. Ramananda Rai directed the two girls how to dance and express the deep meaning of his songs through dramatic performances. He taught them how to express the symptoms of continuous, sthayi, natural, satyika, and transitional sanskriti. Interesting. Sattvika, known as natural bhavas. With the movement of their faces, their eyes, and other parts of their bodies, right? Because as we saw in the drama, then Rupa Goswami is pointing out is that you have the aspect, you have, you know, the eyes, you know, the face, this, what you're going to do with there, you're going to have the positions of the head, body, legs, arms. You're going to have within that the mudras and all these different things that you're going to be using, where you're standing, how it is. So all that together, they can express all these things. So it's a science. And so these things are documented in scriptures. And then you see the great personalities who understand these things, like Ramananda Rai and Rupa Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Then they write these dramas that very wonderfully express all these moods. Through the feminine poses and dances, they were taught by Ramananda Rai. Yeah, so he taught them these principles of bhava through the feminine poses and dances. Where that in this, you do this and all that. So they understand the mood, because they're in the position, then you get the mood. The two girls precisely exhibited all these expressions of ecstasy before Lord Jagannath. Then Ramananda Rai fed the two girls sumptuous prasadam and sent them to their homes unexposed. Right, unexposed means they went, you know, very nicely, that no one would know that they're moving on the street and all that. So just, they go very nicely, no one's there, no one's looking at them and all that. So very beautiful girls, very qualified girls. And so, but they should be able to move around without people, you know, annoying them. Every day he trained the two Devadasis how to dance. Who among the small living entities, their minds always absorbed in material sense gratification, could understand the mentality of Sri Ramananda Rai? Srila Prabhupada. Ramananda's Rai's service to the gopis for the satisfaction of Krishna is purely an affair of the spiritual world. Unless one is fully situated in the spiritual atmosphere, the activities of Ramananda Rai are most difficult to understand. 3527 through 46. When the servant informed Ramananda Rai of presumed the mistress' arrival, Ramananda Rai immediately went to the assembly room. He offered his obeisances to presumed the mistress, and with all respect, and then with great humility spoke as follows: "Sir, you came here long ago, but no one informed me. Therefore, I have certainly become an offender at your Lord's feet. My entire home has been purified by your arrival. Kindly order me. What can I do for you? I am your servant." Okay, so he is the servant, is the master of the house. And all his assistants, then they all help assist him in rendering those varieties of service. Rajumna Misra replied, "I came simply to see you. Now I have purified myself by seeing your honor." Because Prajumna Misra saw that it was late, he did not say anything else to Ramananda Rai. Instead, he took leave of him and returned to his home. The next day, when Prajumna Misra arrived at the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord inquired, "Have you heard talks about Krishna from Sri Ramananda Rai?" Prajumna Misra thereupon described the activities of Sri Ramananda Rai. After hearing about these activities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak. "I am a sannyasi," he said, "and I certainly consider myself renounced. But what to speak of seeing a woman? If I even hear the name of a woman, I feel changes in my mind and body. Therefore, who could remain unmoved by the sight of a woman? It is very difficult. Everyone, please hear these topics about Ramananda Rai, although they are so wonderful and uncommon that they should not be spoken." And so he's talking about that people should hear what's about it, but they're so uncommon, they actually shouldn't be, you know, for a general discussion. The two professional dancing girls are beautiful and youthful, yet Sri Ramananda Rai personally massages their entire bodies with oil. He personally bathes and dresses them and decorates them with ornaments. In this way, he naturally sees and touches the private parts of their bodies. Nevertheless, the mind of Sri Ramananda Rai never changes, although he teaches the girls how to physically express all the transformations of ecstasy. His mind is as steady as wood or stone. Indeed, it is wonderful that even when he touches such young girls, his mind never changes. The authority for such acts is the prerogative of Ramananda Rai alone. For I can understand that his body is not material, but has been completely transformed into a spiritual entity. So he's the authority for such acts. So, you know, he can act in this way. He alone and no one else can understand the position of his mind. But I can make a guess in terms of directions from the Shastra. The Vedic scripture Srimad Bhagavatam gives the direct evidence of this manner. And one hears or describes with great faith the pastimes of Lord Krishna, such as his rasa dance with the gopis, the disease of lusty desires in his heart, and the agitation caused by the three modes of material nature, are immediately nullified and they become sober and silent. So all these, just by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, absorbing yourself in those pastimes, then everything becomes clear. So that's the wonderfulness about the pastimes, is that they, with faith, you hear them. Then these, it is so wonderful. The disease of lusty desires in his heart and the agitation caused by the three modes of nature are immediately nullified, and he becomes sober and silent. Right? Sober means always absorbed in Krishna. Silent means he doesn't want to talk about anything else than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection. Any person seriously inclined to hear about the pastimes of Krishna's rasa dance, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, with great faith and a transcendental spiritually inspired mind, is immediately freed from the natural lusty desires found within the heart of a materialistic man. When a pure Vaishnava speaks on Srimad Bhagavatam and another pure Vaishnava hears Srimad Bhagavatam from such a realized soul, both of them live in the transcendental world, where the contamination of the modes of material nature cannot touch them. Freed from the contamination of the modes of nature, the speaker and hearer are fixed in the transcendental mentality, knowing that their position on the transcendental platform is to serve the Supreme Lord. The class of men known as Prakriti Sahajyas, who consider the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna something like the behavior between a man and a woman in the material field, artificially think that by hearing the Rasa Lila will help them by diminishing the lusty desires of their diseased hearts. But because they do not follow the regulative principles, but instead violate even ordinary morals, their contemplation of the Rasa Lila is a futile attempt, which sometimes results in their imitating the dealings of the gopis to Krishna. To forbid such habits of the Prakriti Sahajyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has excluded their material intelligence by using the words Vishwasa, faith. Right? So that's the point, that faith is there. You hear that with faith. So someone is sincerely trying to hear about Krishna, someone's speaking about Krishna, you know, sincerely speaking, then that combination, then all the impure things within the heart will be destroyed. Bhagavatam mentions it will be destroyed to practically nil. So that regular hearing. So that's the point that's there. Then it has an effect. So we see is when Srila Prabhupada then gave the Krishna book, then the Panchadhyaya is there in the Krishna book. And then Prabhupada gives all the nice explanations of everything so that one can see it all in the proper consciousness. And therefore, then anybody who can read with some faith the Krishna book, then they immediately become purified. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.30, Srila Sukadeva Goswami says, Naikat samacharet jatu manasapi yanishvaraha vinashya yacharan maudyad yata rudro bijam vishvam. Certainly one who is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead should never, even with his mind, imitate the activities of the transcendental rasa lila of Krishna. If out of ignorance one does so, he will be destroyed, just as if you were to imitate Lord Shiva, who drank poison produced from the ocean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues. Tasting transcendental, effulgent, sweetly ecstatic love of Krishna, such a person can enjoy life 24 hours a day in the transcendental bliss of the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Quote, a transcendentally sober person who, with faith and love, continually hears from a realized soul about the activities of Lord Krishna in his rasa dance with the gopis, or one who describes such activities, can attain full transcendental devotional service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, lusty material desires, which are the heart disease of all materialistic persons, are for him quickly and completely vanquished. Footnote 60. Srila Prabhupada. All the activities of Lord Krishna are transcendental, and the gopis are also transcendentally situated. Therefore, the activities of the gopis and Lord Krishna, if seriously understood, will can certainly free one from material attachment. Then there is no possibility that lusty material desires will awaken. Okay, so that's the point, is that because you're seeing it from the transcendental platform, then one is unaffected by material desire, because Krishna is transcendental, his activities with his devotees is transcendental. By hearing them with faith and that affection for Krishna, then naturally it removes all inauspicious things of the heart. So there's no possibility that lusty material desires will awaken. That means why? Because you're already absorbed in something higher. You're absorbed in Krishna. So because of that, then there's no interest in these lower things. The opportunity comes up, just like you see Krishna, kids out in the backyard, they're eating mud, they're eating this and that. Now, when the adult goes out in the backyard, you know that he's thinking, wow, that mud looks really good, you know? No, I'm an adult, I can't eat it, but it looks really nice. So, no, you can't eat your dog. Well, nobody's around right now. You know, maybe I could just get one little mud. No. It just doesn't come up because they have other things to do, other things to eat. So we're absorbed in Krishna. Then, because of that, then there's no interest in anything else. 3549-71. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The transcendentally situated person following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami hears and speaks about the Rasa Lila dance of Krishna and is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna while serving the Lord day and night within his mind. What shall I say about the result? It is so spiritually exalted that it cannot be expressed in words. Such a person is an eternally liberated associate of the Lord, and his body is completely spiritualized. Although he is visible to material eyes, he is spiritually situated, and all his activities are spiritual, right? So we can see with our material eyes, but they're actually spiritually situated. And all his activities are spiritual. By the will of Krishna, such a devotee is understood to possess a spiritual body. Srila Ramananda Rai is situated on the path of spontaneous love of Godhead. Therefore, he is in his spiritual body and his mind is not materially affected. Right, so the path of spontaneous love of Godhead. So ragatmika bhakti. So that's completely beyond any position of the material platform. Even, you know, we see, even up to the, you know, the stages of bhava, that one may get distracted from devotional service. But once you come to prema, that platform, ragatmika, prema, that they're not going to be distracted by anything in the material. What does it have to offer? I also hear topics about Krishna from Ramana and Rai. If you want to hear such topics, go to him again. You can mention my name before him, saying, he has sent me to hear about Lord Krishna from you. Go hastily while he is in the assembly room. Hearing this, Prajumna Mishra immediately departed, right, because he's in the assembly room. Otherwise, he'll get busy with some other duties and all that. Prajumna Mishra went to Ramananda Rai, who offered in respectful obeisances and said, please order me. For what purpose have you come? Prajumna Mishra answered, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent me to hear topics about Lord Krishna from you. And hearing this, Ramananda Rai became absorbed with ecstatic love, began to speak with great transcendental pleasure. Following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have come to hear about Krishna. This is my great fortune. How else would I get such an opportunity? Saying this, Sri Ramananda Rai took Prajumna Mishra to a secluded place and inquired about him. Right? In other words, they had, you know, he must have some very nice gardens and all that. And so, you know, the gardens will be designed in such a way that there's different sitting areas and different like this. So then you can go to an area and then no one will bother you because it's out of the way. You can't see. like that. You know, someone else might be able to walk in other parts, but those parts are like that. So they're like little coves and like this and that. So you see many times private gardens and that in very aristocratic people's houses would have the big open areas, but they'd also have these nice little areas that they could go sit with friends, talk, you know, have a meal, you know, do anything that they like that they don't want to be formal. Right? What kind of kata, Krishna kata, do you want to hear from me? Arjuna the Mister replied, kindly tell me about the same talk you spoke about at Vidyanagar. You are an instructor even for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak of others? I am but a beggar Brahmin, and you are my maintainer. I do not know how to inquire, for I do not know what is good and what is bad. Seeing me to be poor in knowledge, kindly speak whatever good for me, whatever is good for me by your own good will. Right, so he wants these things, but you speak according to what you think is going to be good for me. You can understand it will be good for me to hear about these things. Rather, no, I want to hear this, and if I don't hear it the way I want to hear it, then it's not good. Like I remember somebody asked a question in the class, and they asked a question, but it's getting into a detail that's not connected with the class. So the principle of what they're talking about, that was dealt with. But they were not looking very happy at all, very satisfied, very grumpy. And afterwards, I asked, you know, you were not happy with the answer. Says no, because you didn't answer what I want. I want specific details. I wanted you to tell me very specific technical details, and you didn't tell me that. So, you know, you didn't answer my question. He was very upset. He even told other people how I didn't answer his question and all this. So, but the point is no, what you're supposed to hear, that's who you go. You go to someone who knows more than what it is they feel you should hear. That's then what you hear. Thereupon, Ramananda Rai gradually began speaking on topics of Krishna. Thus, the ocean and the transcendental mellows of those topics became agitated. He began personally posing questions and then answering them with conclusive statements. When afternoon came, the topic still did not end. The speaker and listener spoke and heard in ecstatic love. Thus, they forgot their bodily consciousness. How then could they perceive the end of the day? The servant informed them, "The day has already ended." Then Ramananda Rai ended his discourses about Krishna. Ramananda Rai paid great respect to Prajumna Misra and bade him for farewell. Prajumna Misra said, "I have become very satisfied." He then began to dance. After returning home, Prajumna Misra bathed and ate his meal. In the evening, he came to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In great happiness, he worshipped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord inquired, "Have you heard topics about Krishna?" Arjuna Misra said, "My dear Lord, you have made me extremely obliged to you because you have drowned me in a nectarian ocean of talks about Krishna. I cannot properly describe the discourses of Ramananda Rai, for he is not an ordinary human being. He is fully absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord." Srila Prabhupada, "One is forbidden to accept the guru or the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. Guru shu nara matahi." When Ramananda Roy spoke to Prajumna Misra could understand that Ramananda Roy was not an ordinary human being. A spiritually advanced person who is authorized to act as the spiritual master speaks as the Supreme Personality of Godhead dictates from within. Thus, it is not that he is personally speaking. In other words, a pure devotee, a spiritualist, speaks. What he says should be accepted as having been directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Parampara system. So Krishna in the heart inspires to speak about this or that, gives direction. You know, so there's always that aspect. If you're working on behalf of the Lord, Krishna will give direction how to speak. So therefore, someone who is representing Krishna, representing the Parampara, they shouldn't be taken as ordinary. I mean, all devotees are to be respected. Even all living entities are to be respected, let alone somebody who is representing the Lord directly in his Bhagavan teaching. 3572-80. Presume the mystery continued. There's one other thing Ramananda Rai said to me. Do not consider me the speaker in these talks about Krishna. Whatever I speak is personally spoken by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a stringed instrument, I vibrate whatever he causes me to speak. Like the instrument is there, and it can very wonderfully express the music, but it plays music according to how it is being directed as an instrument. In this way, the Lord speaks through my mouth to preach the cult of Krishna consciousness. Within the world, who will understand the pastimes of the Lords? What I have heard from Ramananda Rai is like a nectarian ocean of discourses about Krishna. Even the demigods, beginning with Lord Brahma, cannot understand all these topics. My dear Lord, you have made me drink this transcendental nectar of Krishna Katha. Therefore, I am sold to your lotus feet, life after life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Rai is a mind of great humility. Therefore, he has attributed his own words to another's intelligence. Because you see, there, the service attitude, and that someone comes to the house, how can I serve you? What's your order? This is the natural characteristic of those advanced in devotional service. They do not personally speak of their own good qualities. I have described but a fraction of the transcendental attributes of Ramananda Rai, as revealed when he instructed Prajumna Misra. Although Ramananda Rai was a householder, he was not under the control of the six kinds of bodily changes. Although apparently a pounds and shillings man, he advised even persons in the renounced order. Like, you see, he had his government service, that he was an assistant to the king, like that. And so, you know, he was a family person and all these different things. So he was taking care of whatever he was doing. He wasn't the governor anymore, but, you know, he, you know, must have been doing something. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Ramananda Rai externally appeared to be a grihastha who was under the influence of the external material energy, not a self-controlled brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Grihasthas, householders, were under the influence of the external energy, except householder life for the purpose of sense enjoyment. But a transcendentally situated Vaishnava is not subjected to the influence of the senses by the Lord's material rule of the six kinds of bodily changes. Well, Lord's material rule means by the potency of Krishna's material energy. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madana, and matsarja. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. Yeah, so pride is also known as madness. When you get too proud, you get too crazy. And to be proud is technically crazy because it's the Lord's potency. Thus, although Srila Ramananda Rai acted as a grihastha and was accepted as an ordinary pound, shillings, and pence man, he was always absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his mind was spiritually situated. He was interested only in the subject of Krishna. Ramananda Rai was not among the Mayavadi personalists or materialistic logicians who were opposed to the principles of Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He was already spiritually situated in the order of renounced life. Therefore, he was able to turn sand into gold by spiritual potency, or in other words, to elevate a person from material to a spiritual position. And so already situated in the renounced order of life means everything he did was for Krishna. That's sannyas. Right? By ashram, he was grihastha. But he was already situated in that mentality of sannyas, where it's nothing is for oneself, it's all for Krishna. 3581-84. So we can see is that these things can be done. So here Ramananda Rai, you see in 5th, 6th canto, so many examples of great kings who were on that same kind of platform. To demonstrate the transcendental attributes of Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Prajumna Misra to hear discourses about Krishna from him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows very well how to demonstrate the qualities of his devotees. Therefore, acting like an artistic painter, he does so in various ways and considers this his personal profit. Right? So if he can bring out the glory of his devotee in so many nice ways, unique ways, then he considers that is the gain he gets. There's yet another characteristic of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our devotee is listening carefully to how he manifests his opulence and characteristics, although they are exceptionally deep. To vanquish the false pride of so-called renunciates and learned scholars, he spreads real religious principles, even through a Shudra or low-born fourth-class man. Srila Prabhupada. When a man is greatly learned in Vedanta Sutras, he is known as a pundit or a learned scholar. Generally, this qualification is attributed to brahmanas and sannyasis. Sannyasa, the renounced order of life, is the topmost position of a brahmana, a member of the highest of the four varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. According to public opinion, a person born in the Brahmin family, duly reformed by the purgatory process and properly initiated by the spiritual master, is an authority on Vedic literature. When such a person is offered the sannyas order, he comes to occupy the topmost position. The brahmana is supposed to be the spiritual master of the other three varnas, namely kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. And the sannyasi is supposed to be the spiritual master even of the exalted brahmanas. Generally, brahmanas and sannyasis is the spiritual master, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. But the brahmana as a sannyasi, then he's above the brahmins and the three levels of the brahmins that are there. So it could be because it's the fourth. Generally, brahmanas and sannyasis are very proud of their spiritual positions. Therefore, to cut down their false pride, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached Krishna consciousness through Ramana Narai, who is neither a member of the renounced order nor born a Brahmin. Indeed, Sri Ramana Narai was a grihastha belonging to the Shudra class. Right? He was governor of Madras province. But he's a Shudra, right? Because he's working for the king. Like that. So, yes, you have all these positions. We take, oh, Shudra is low-class thing. He's the governor. He's the ones in charge. You saw all those Brahmins were with him and that huge different thing, the army. So many different things are there under his control. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for him to be the master who taught Prajumna Mishra, a highly qualified Brahmin born in the Brahmin family. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, although belonging to the renounced order, took instructions from Sri Ramana Narai. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his opulence through Sri Ramana Narai. That is the special significance of this incident. Okay. Yes, so. And we'll end here. So this will be then the end of this term's classes and all that. So we want to thank everybody for, coming along and taking part in hearing and chanting and discussing about Krishna Katha. It's the, as we sing that Lord Chaitanya is pointing out in the Bhagavatam message, it's the most important thing we can do is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Especially in the association of devotees. So it's a very, very wonderful thing. So we'd like to thank everybody for taking part and giving us this opportunity to discuss about Krishna in so many ways, so many different topics and literatures. And thank you. And then until we all are, see everybody again. Jai Nitha.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.